This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
Elevate your mind. Expand your thinking.
And so my fellow Americans.
It's the E-Square Podcast.
Yeah, you hit the fuck out of that motherfucker.
Huh?
You take that shit everywhere?
Yeah, low-key.
For real? On the plane and everything? They don't say anything?
I be hitting on the plane. I just hit it on the plane and, like, blow it into my shirt.
For real? Oh, a lie? Okay.
Oh,
yo, Durag Dad, what's good, man?
What's poppin'?
How you doing?
Easy, man.
Hey, yo, I appreciate you pulling up, man. The swag god. Swag god. Look at you, man. hey, what did they say? You got to live your brand? Bro, you got to tat it from your neck to your fingertips, man.
Is there a video? Is that a video?
Yeah, we're on.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
When'd you get all those tattoos?
Ooh, you know, actually, I was just looking back at the archives. I think the first piece was like before a Japan trip. So I used to have this custom, like before every trip I would take to Tokyo, I used to get tatted.
Uh huh. So as a ritual?
Yeah. I was like, I can't go to Japan unless I got a new tattoo or unless I got, like, my hair is dyed, like, a new color.
Yeah.
I got to have something new going on. So it was, like, a cool, like, it started as a random little, like, thing. And then from the neck, I went and, like added more to the neck. And then from the neck, started with my hand and then worked my way up from the hand up to the arm. With your back inside everything.
Man, that is so crazy to me because you have one of the hottest brands, I think, newer brand. Would you consider it a new brand? I know you've been doing it for a minute, but.
I mean, honestly, it's been like a year or so running. I mean, I guess it's more so like it's a newer project for me, but it's not my first project, so.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like you've been able to take it to some places that, you know. Most, you know what I'm saying? You're doing your thing with it. But I think that, to me, the dopest part of it is that it's a pattern.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like just a word, some random word, and people try to make it a brand out of some random word. You created a whole pattern, and then you tatted your whole body on that pattern.
Is that wild?
Yeah, that's dope. No, that's like, you know, that's full commitment, bro. I respect it.
I feel it. Thank you. No, it was... A little too much anime and Halloween. A little too much anime.
What do you mean?
Halloween. I would, I don't know, man. I think I was just caved up for a while, lit in bed. Might have been, I don't know. There's a couple times, honestly, I've been tested through life situations. I had a stroke not too far from here. Had a car accident, flipped three times, been stuck in bed, like, long time, multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one of those times, honestly, was like a new time for me to really like get back to the basics, back to the art.
Like reset.
Reset back to what I like. And so honestly, each one of those times just kind of like added more and more. I don't know. They were like, they were big, like, okay, you got to get back to the fundamentals. You got to get back to the basics because you were moving at 100 miles per hour. Now life is telling you to slow down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like you have those times and it's like, okay, the universe or God, you know, whoever for you is telling you like, yo, you got to slow down. You're moving a little too fast.
Yeah.
And
so you took those things as a sign?
Oh, yeah. I mean, big time because you got to. If you don't, that's when you like really pushing it. You already getting lucky by being given those signs.
Right.
A lot of people are just like, yo, you were really meant to be here just going and living through a stroke so young as it was.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
Crazy. Was in a business meeting right down the street at Fruition, old Fruition spot. And we're in a meeting. We were working on the rollout of the first Yeezy shoe. So the first Yeezy, like 350 in the first Yeezy collection. And I was like, Kanye was looking at the collection that we were styling for him. And putting together like all the visuals, and he was looking at the content, so I was just trying to go hard, burn the candle at both ends, stressed.
Right.
How to get back to the drawing board. That knocked down project number one.
Mm-hmm.
then from there, it was like, okay, now I know my time here might be limited. And that was actually the introduction of the Gucci Durag.
Okay.
So right after then, time where the earth, the universe, God was like, yo, sit your ass down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get back to some fundamentals here. And really, like, it was like, yo, that was the time I was like, okay, I got to execute.
Yeah.
That first time was about executing. So it was about executing the ideas that you had that you might be afraid to put out, that you were hesitant to put out. So the Gucci Durag was a fuck it idea and was something that I was a little bit hesitant to do at first. But pretty much when that time happened, I was like, yo, I might not be here anymore. I got to go ahead and, like, yeah. I got to get to the notebook. I got to get these ideas out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those fun ideas, those, you know, random smoking, kicking it with the homie ideas. And
that's and the magic, right?
Right. And it, because it was about having fun.
Right.
And so really it's probably the biggest thing I'm focusing on even right now.
Yeah.
So like the Gucci Durags were a nice little climax blip in the story, like just a, you know, like a sneak peek at a time. Each project has its little wave. We'll call them like a wave, right?
Right.
And so before that, it was a project I was doing here called Lux Soir.
I remember that.
Then I was like, yo, sit down. Then it was like, okay, Gucci Durags. Mm-hmm. And it was like, all right, now you got moving off too fast, now sit down.
Yeah.
Then it was, you know, working on X and Tashion and Ski Masters Merch, and it was like, yo, sit down.
So do you, when
Durag Dev, and now it's another one, like, yo, sit down. My bad, interrupt you.
No, you're good, saying, you're
like,
good.
It's always been put in a spot of like, yo, you might get here real quick and move in 100, but you got to forget, like, yo, you got to slow down sometimes and get back to those basics. Like, Jordan always... It was crazy. I finally just watched the documentary, the Jordan documentary.
Oh,
I didn't know that he went back to college and they're like, sit down, go play back in college. I'm like, yo, he might have thought that was going to be the peak of his career.
Right.
And so, you know, now looking at those things, like, yo, the Gucci deal was big. It was on Travis Scott. It was known for one of the times, like, Travis wearing the album. That was one of the big things he was wearing. Paper Magazine, pretty much every rapper, they're going on, they're buying it. I'm walking down Fairfax. People are yelling out, yo, Durag Dev, X and Tashion comes running up, hides behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just all too...
Craziness.
Craziness. But, you know, it started moving 100 miles an hour again, and it's like, oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Gotta, like...
So do you become obsessive when you think of a project and you have, and you want to execute, and you get into the production of it? Do you get obsessive about it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, this is stuff I'm like, real talk, I'm going to see a therapist now. I'm going to see.
Oh, really?
Because, I mean, I know I have, you know, mental things. So I have OCD. I have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
You know, I have ADD. Like, but I have those things where I'm a perfectionist and OCD. So, like, when I'm locked in on something, I'm locked in on it.
Yeah. But you need, don't go to a therapist too much.
Oh, no. honestly, it's just because real talk, like, life is just, I hate if I'm coming sounding from, like, a negative tone. I guess I'm just more so keeping it a buck. Like, it's a lot of great things. There's a lot of things.
No, that probably sounded bad, me saying that.
Right.
What I meant is that I think every genius is a little crazy in some form or fashion. Whatever you decide the definition of crazy is. But you know, geniuses have that obsessive trait about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had to accept that a little bit.
Embrace that,
a
you
lot
know?
Of, right, yeah. A lot of it crazy. But finding out, you know, sitting back and looking at my dad, seeing how genius he was with, like, lights and car design and this and that. And then
what,
like,
did he do?
He did a lot of stuff in, like, automotive. From detailing at first to, like, custom lights and...
Like, restoration?
He would take a car and he would kind of, like... He would do, like, aftermarket design and the factory would want to come. Like, GM would want to come and buy it back from him.
Oh.
And...
So he was creative in his own right, too.
He was creative in his own right, too. And so... But, you know, just as much crazy. Locked in on a project.
Yeah.
He's in the garage. He's stuck on it.
Tunnel vision.
Working on it. Tunnel vision, right?
Yeah.
You know, you move everything else to the side, so...
So you think you got that from him, huh?
A lot of crazy in the genes.
That's a beautiful thing, though, man, because you have to, in order for anybody to be great, you know, you look at all the, you know, talking about Michael Jordan, Kanye West, any of those people, bro.
Right.
The normal person would say they're fucking out of their mind.
Right.
And that's, but those people that are quote unquote out of their mind are the ones that are talked about forever, you know, remembered in history. you know. But so I don't want you to be too hard on yourself, man.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
I'm just
keeping it a buck. I think you know, sometimes it just things can think like. Like I'm saying, just not for people not to, like not the, I don't know why I don't even know why at this point in time this is my message per se that I'm trying to get out through these words, I guess subconsciously. But sometimes we get wrapped up in that project or wrapped up in moving at 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Without sometimes having those times where we get back to the basics and work on those fundamentals.
Right.
And so, you know.
Because that's what got you there.
What got you there in the first place.
Right.
So if you don't have the thing that is going to keep you moving on continually, and you don't have that motivation and that vice, that thing, whatever, and it's taken away from you, how's your motivation going to be?
Mm-hmm.
How's your determination going to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how's your inspiration going to be? How's your art going to be?
Because
without knowing in the beginning why you loved this thing, why you loved making music, why you loved creating clothes, why you loved to model, why you loved to make videos, why you loved to make podcasts, why you loved to hoop, why you loved to cook, why you loved to do this, why you loved to do that, all these things that are creating, you know, you gotta like always get back to those things where it's like, yo, why do I love to do this? What do I love to do?
Right.
You know, and make sure
that's the question you need to always have the answer
you
to.
You always got to have an answer to, because if you get hit with one of those questions and you stutter and you hesitate, that's a no.
Yeah. If you got to think about it.
If you got to think about it, it's a no. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Because you're not even going to ask Michael Jordan if he loves to play basketball.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to ask Kanye. Like, it's just going to be an automatic, you know, yes, there's no hezzy, there's no, you know, there's no fake out, there's no hesitation, no pump fake, nothing.
Yeah. What have you learned through all this? Because I feel like the city has. Are you born here? From here?
Yeah.
The city has definitely seen you evolve. I could have sworn some years ago I saw you perform at Brooklyn Bowl. I mean, not Brooklyn Bowl. Beauty Bar. I might be mistaken.
Might have been.
Did you used
Brooklyn
to be an artist? Were you an artist before?
Did you
make music?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Did you perform anywhere?
I did perform, though.
Okay. So
I've never made music, but I have performed many times.
Okay. So
I've never made music.
So I might have seen you on stage. I think it was at Beauty.
It was Brooklyn Bowl. I've done Brooklyn Bowl.
Okay.
I sound like I've done Brooklyn Bowl. I've done House of
Blues. But he doesn't make music, yeah.
I've done House of Blues. You know,
Yeah, I've smoked a lot of weed in my life, so maybe my memory is fucked up. But you weren't who you are today.
Oh, no.
In any shape or fashion. So I feel like we've seen you evolve.
For sure.
And do you reflect on your evolution as well or no?
I do. I was just talking to someone recently because I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm about to go and speak. And like, oh, okay, well, what are you about to talk about? I was like, I don't know, but one of my things is going back and always I'll sit and I'll look at podcasts or interviews or whatever it is that I've done, video, you know, recap videos of pop-up shops and events and stuff like that. And I'll go back to that footage and I'll be like, yo, okay, this is what I should have said. Let me take these words out. Let me add these words in. Let me shorten this part down. Let me add a little more quantity and quality to this part and talk about this part because this part is more important.
Mm-hmm.
I just pulled out my old clothing archives from 2012, and I'm calling them archives. It's really not that long ago, but it's still.
Yeah.
Like 2013, and I'm looking at different things, and it's always good to go back and reference what you are making. Reference what you were drawing, reference what you were creating, reference what you were shooting, reference what you were styling. You know, luckily I got to like mess around for a while. Like so much of the homies did music. Like maybe looking back how I was looking, I'm thinking I can pinpoint for you right now what you're talking about specifically, because I know the performance at Brooklyn Bowl and I was wearing a maroon satin long trench coat.
Yes.
And my hair was straight
and
it sat to one side and I had a gold grills in and I had a distressed knitted long sleeve underneath and I had some Saint Laurent pants on and some Rick Owens boots.
And like, some might refer to it as like a gothic look.
Very gothic, very gothic, very punk. Very, but that's where I was at in what I was watching in anime at the time. It was very dark. The aesthetics that I was pulling from was what I was calling like Japanese retro galactic punk. And like that's what I was. That's what crazy. I was like.
So
was,
you were on anime before it became a thing. Trendy.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I mean, but a nigga was in Japan for a year in 2011.
So what were you doing in Japan? Right? What were you doing in Japan?
Oh man, everything.
What brought you out there in the first place?
The culture. The.
So did you just take a trip out there and you fell in love with it?
Or? I did. I mean, I finessed UNLV. So I went in, this is the real. So back in 2011, I got like 25,000, 30,000, 40,000 from UNLV alone to go scholarships. They paid for just 3 months of school, but I got a year long visa, stayed out, did classes for the first 3 months, then traveled around Japan for the rest of the year. So I got out there. I'm not gonna lie. I got out there under the school and then used those scholarships and it paid for everything.
So why Japan though? Did you get to pick Japan?
Yeah, I mean that's just what I had always like. That's where I always wanted to go since I was like 5, 6 years old. So something that was I was actually just talking about this too. Something that was kind of crazy for me is, as a kid, I was able to recognize, okay, these cheaper. Lower quality products come from China, and then like these more high quality, these like better, faster, stronger. These products come from Japan. Yeah. These more high quality products. I was able to tell I could just tell
them everything they do,
right? And so like as a little kid, somehow I was able to see like that. Okay, this is when it has a made in China sticker. It's you know here. Yeah. Yeah. And if it's made in Japan, the quality level is here.
Yeah.
And then, but that probably goes in, you know, deeper, like some little kid shit.
What about
Dragon
them?
Dragon Ball Z. You know, they have all those, like, Gundam, all those influences since we were little. Sony, PlayStation, you know, those are all big things. Street Fighter.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I had dinner with the founder of Capcom. Well, his son, because that dude's gone now, but.
Yeah.
His son and like I mean I didn't even realize just how sublimated their culture was into
American culture
through the video games, the graphics, the movies, the
like you didn't realize how much we were being influenced.
The playing cards, right. And just as much as we're influencing them or other cultures at the same time, just as much as we're influential worldwide.
That's what Christian said. I had Christian FGY up here and he said the same thing. He said as far as cultures that influence the world, America's number one, but Japan's number two.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
What is it about them that is makes them just so, like, top tier? Because Tenet says the same thing, you know?
I mean, he knows. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've already, at this point, and this is why I say, like, at this point, I realize, like, not in an old way, the... was just talking about this too. The homie literally just told me like, yo, your story's not over. Like if you're still writing, then your story's not over. So honestly, my career in creating is probably just beginning, but at the point where I'm at now, there is a difference in experience. Cause I've traveled the world already. Mm-hmm. Bought the designer already, bought the diamonds already, bought the car already.
Like You're still young.
I've had the fun like at a young age. And that's what I was saying. Sometimes you move 100 miles per hour real quick. And I was young, you know, traveling the world, going to Europe, going all over Asia, going all over, just traveling, like. And, but to get back where you're going, like, in that, even though I went to up in Amsterdam over here, and up over, you know, Russia over here, Japan over here, like, China over here, Korea, Singapore, like, all these different places all over the U.S., all over the world, London, woo-dee-woo, didn't matter where, like, I always would find myself after those trips going back to Japan. So after I left Europe, I would go, like, racing back to Japan. I'd be on United.
Like it was home.
I'd be on the United app. Yeah, like, it was home. Yeah. And I would feel a place, like, a piece, a big piece of serenity just being back there. The second I landed, it was almost as if I had taken a drug in a way. I didn't need anything.
Yeah.
I didn't need any vices. it just naturally like reset and refreshed my body.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, if there's such thing as, you know, reincarnation, like past life definitely had to be in Japan somewhere, because it was just like too much of a feeling of like home.
Yeah. Oh, man, I got to go, man, because I just keep hearing about Japan, I just keep hearing about it.
Right. And then Tenesse is a good advocate as well for it.
For sure, man. So, but the thing is that, like, you know, this is the first time we've ever met, you know, which is kind of crazy to me because I've been moving and grooving. I've been seeing you around, you know.
Right.
But I love talking to people behind the scenes. You know, people definitely know you, but you're not like a... not like a rapper or, you know what I'm saying, somebody like that. So
that's been my thing is like influencing the influencers.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, I mean, you know, you can even know me well enough to hit me up and me not to be in the front like a rapper is something that's cool for me, because that lets you know I'm doing my job in a way to be, you know, because I don't want to be famous like her. Honestly, I've seen that, been very close to it all. That's a little too much for me.
Yeah. Especially when you're young.
Yeah. That's
a little scary.
It's a lot. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, I don't want that life forever. Like, I don't want that life for a week.
Mm-mm.
That's too much. I'm already like, I'd be on tour, and I would go and get my own hotel room and run away from everyone mid tour.
Yeah.
I would leave, I would be on tour. I'd pick like, all right, in 5 cities, I'm going to just fly back to L.A. or Vegas or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I need to go reset.
Why? What is it about that lifestyle that drives you crazy?
It's a lot, man. It's a lot. Like, it's a constant energy output. People are constantly taking energy from you.
Okay.
So you're constantly in an energy exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And then unless you keep yourself grounded, then... you can't keep putting up with, you know,
depleted
that energy output without grounding yourself.
Mm.
So for me, grounding myself was, okay, let me pick every 5 to 8 cities I'm going to go back and get reset.
Okay.
And now once I'm out of the way of tour, because I'm working on merch for that tour, the next tour, or the music that was being made on that tour. So I'm around, so I get to hear the music so I can make sure that the sonics match the visuals.
Mm.
And so that's cool and all, you know, we're there for that. But at the same time, it was actually Travis Scott's old stylist that taught me, like, yo, you don't always need to be on the tour to be working on things on the tour.
Mm.
And I was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And Kyle was like, yo, I did all the looks beforehand. We set up the mood boards and everything beforehand.
Mm.
You know, we worked on these things and, like, went to the certain shows and same things and was here for certain moments.
But you went there every step.
You don't need to be there to hip check the artist and try to get in every photo and video that the artist is gonna be on. Like, you don't gotta jock them like and be on their hip like that, because if it comes natural, it's gonna come natural. All of the opportunities too that I've gotten, like, have always been from the most natural occasions.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I remember, Revenge Tour, Extentacion. I'm in Vegas. Ski's in Vegas. He has a show. Long story short, we end up hanging out for 2 days. In that 2 days time span, I was the only person that didn't ask him for a photo or try to sneak a video in.
Yeah, that's pretty important not to do when you're dealing with famous people.
And so, but at the time, he only had like maybe like 300,000 followers.
Uh-huh. So he wasn't where he was going.
It wasn't 2 million. Because honestly, like, even at 2 million, 3 million, you're still not internationally famous. You're really not internationally famous until, like, 20 million, 50 million. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, 300,000, you're on your way up as far as a rapper goes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they're following. So you look at a rapper, 300,000, he's on his way up. But it was still at a time where it's, like, right in the momentum. So that timing. You know, we were just talking before we started this.
Yeah.
Like, being on the right time. And so because of me being on the right time, acting in the right way, he literally was like, yo, you were the only person that didn't ask for a photo. We're about to take a flick together. I'm about to clout you up. And that was the time when, like, clout was a big word, big popping ass word. Yeah. Everyone wanted to say clout. We used to text
clout
in a group
chasers.
Chat. We used to text, like, a picture of, like, a clout token. And at first, some people, I would send it to my friends here, and they'd be like, I can use this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, nigga, that's just a photo. That's just a photo.
Yeah.
We used to send people pictures of like a clout token, and some people really thought that like they could use that, like it was like a form of currency or something. I'm like, bro, it's a joke.
Clout is such a reality It fucks up in reality, bro.
Delusioner.
People are really clout leeches, clout chasers, and you know they want to just get a picture. They don't care about how you're doing, what you're doing. You know, they don't care about if you had a good day or bad day. Just give me a picture so I look like I know you.
So I look like I'm popping, right? that's a lot of the things like. I think people know that by now. Mm-hmm. The word's been out for long enough. It's been used in such a derogatory way for long enough now that people understand that aspect, but still they might not understand the aspect, well, how do I go about this naturally?
Yeah.
And I think even for me, recently I met Lil Baby. And so I'm like, all right. And it was cool. It was actually super fun because it was the first time in a really long time that I had probably been like a little, that I probably had like, some feelings or nervous or something inside that I was like, oh shit, I gotta actually think about what I'm gonna say.
You wanna make a good impression.
I mean, those things do matter. So knowing, okay, so it's this artist I'm about to meet. All right, what am I wearing? Because the fit has to be on the mood, on the vibe with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's this artist, what am I putting in the package for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What does the outside of the bag look like? Because is that bag gonna attract them in the first place? Mm-hmm. So I put everything in a Prada bag.
Yeah.
Because that's what, like, it was Lil Baby's birthday.
You were able to present
it.
It was the time.
Yeah. And so, but something, and that was honestly a fun moment for me because it took it back to those basics. So, like, yo.
Yeah.
Because there was a time where I didn't get to just go around so easily and, like, just know all the artists already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finally, there was a time where there was a big artist that had, There was here that I didn't have any connection to or know any way, so I had to, from ground zero, confront, like, all right, I got to figure out how to present myself in 2 seconds without being thirsty, mm-hmm. but with still hustling.
Exactly. There's like a fine line.
There's
bro.
A very
It's an art.
Fine,
it's an a, art, bro.
It's a tightrope. It's a tightrope you
exactly,
got to walk.
Exactly, yeah.
To not be thirsty.
But not be scared.
But to not be scary, yeah. right. And so you got to find that perfect line that you're walking on.
That confidence. That,
right. Yeah. And you got to walk on that fucking tightrope and you got to have confidence and you got to almost be able to run on that shit. Because if you can't be on that tightrope and stick within that line, the second mm-hmm. you go one way to the right or to the left, then you off the rope.
God, that's such a great analogy, bro. Because I know exactly what you mean, man.
Right.
I know
right.
it's an art, bro.
It's an art. And that's so me and Made in Tokyo were just talking about it. We were talking about the dance.
Mm-hmm.
He's on tour with Billie Eilish. Even though Billie's wearing my stuff show after show, left and right, even with how I'm communicating with her, it's still a dance.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, he's like, hey, remember, this is still a dance.
Mm-hmm.
As much, and she had just said, like, yo, I hella fuck with him. I fuck with his shit, da 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 da. You know, whoop-de-whoop, like, just, like, praising me and pumping me up. At the mm-hmm. same time, it's still a dance.
Yeah.
Yes, she wears the clothes. Yes, she likes the art, but it's still a dance. You still can't be overboard. You still exactly. can't be thirsty.
Can't get too comfortable.
Can't get too comfortable, right? Yeah. It's still a dance. And so there's every little moment. So finally, it was, like, getting back to the basics of dancing when mm-hmm. I got to meet Lil Baby. And so that was honestly something that was real cool because it was like, all right, let me, now I got to get back to walking this tightrope.
Oh, that's no, crazy. What is that? What is that? Huh?
Fire alarm.
How long does that go off for? Huh? Yeah, bro, stop.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
So, everything is a dance. That was crazy. So, I'm just going to explain to people just for that break. Yeah. That was the first time I've ever had a fire alarm go off in the middle.
During an interview.
Yeah,
we're very professional over here. I want to let everybody know. Okay?
I want to let everybody know.
That is out of our control.
Fire alarm just went off. That was the first time. That was honestly a little. I was like, oh
yeah,
this might be done with.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
So making, you know, it is a dance. No matter where you're at. In that dance, it might be the end of the dance, or you might be at a good place, but you still can't mess up the rhythm.
Right.
Or if you're getting back to the basics, like I said, you know, so I'm meeting a new artist for the first time, that tightrope.
Yeah.
Of not being thirsty.
Is this a key component, like for somebody who's doing anything, like really hustling, especially getting a brand off? Is this what you feel like really sets you apart? Is your ability to do that dance?
Oh, facts. Honestly, yeah. I told people all the time, because it was back when we were doing Frish, like I was at Fruition and Stussy jumping back and forth. There was another designer, Ant, and I was like, yo, I'm not the best designer from Vegas, but I'm the best at designing and marketing and doing business of it.
Yeah, total package.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's more so what it was for me, was like, yo, I know how to create and then make it and then execute it and then release it and then figuring out the marketing rollout from there. How do I present it? How do we place it on these people? How do we do the artist placement? Knowing how important seating was from the do-rags. Then from there, okay, so we're doing this. The item sells out, so it's sold out. Then knowing the timing of when do you restock that item and sell it again? Because the second it sells out, you can't put it right back. You got to make people wait.
Yeah.
So it's a dance again.
There you go, man.
Right.
There you
and
go.
So like there's the timing. There's the timing.
It's business acumen.
So
bro.
Right.
Yeah.
So the product sells out. You don't want to restock it right away. You don't want to wait too long. So again, like you're on that on some.
How do you gauge that? How do you gauge that? Is it like intuition, or is it you go off your feeling or your gut or what?
Man, I mean, I guess to give people a couple keys. it's a little bit of looking at like new audience, new demand. So let's say you seated it on five people, and now the product sells out. Almost waiting until you seat it on another five people, and saying like it hits another five streams of outlet, and you see another 3,000, 5,000 new followers come in, and enough people have sent emails in to restock the item, and you see enough of the wave of like, okay, so you build it up. Okay, now we're gonna restock the item. And so, because if it's not already like kind of sold out, then you're not gonna have as much of an impact when you bring that item back in.
Right.
I mean, even when Durag Dev, like, so that was something I learned in the Rags days. So I had a business partner who. He was good on that marketing timing. He taught me the timing. And a little of it is intuition in a way. But so it's looking at, okay, it was on these people was doing this. Okay, this is where the followers at. All right, now when I want to restock this item, is there any new demand? Is there any new following? Is there any new outreach I could do? Is there any new marketing? All right, if there is and there's enough of each of those components and there's enough emails and there's enough people asking questions, okay, now we bring the item back. And maybe we bring it back with a pair of shorts to match, or a hoodie to match.
Boom.
Or a set of it all, right?
There you go.
So a lot of business, probably what you're saying, a lot of business.
Yeah.
A lot of business, like, at it. But I mean, that's what, in the beginning, I was, I'm not going to lie, I was naturally good at just marketing. So, like, the first day I went to marketing class, they give you the final exam. I ended up passing the final exam on the first day, not knowing it. Like, how did you know this class? I'm like, well, it's common sense. So luckily for me, like, marketing was just common sense. I just kind of knew, like, what was, like, and I hate to say it, but, like, whack or not in a way when it came down to marketing. What looked a little too
corny.
Was, like, not enough hustle. What was not enough, like, ambition in it. And so, again, we're back on this. Not too much of this, not too much of that, but this balance in the middle.
Yeah.
And so just kind of keeping it there.
It sounds like you're able to make these decisions because you keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the culture and the music and fashion, and you know what's going on so much that you damn near know what's next. So what are you looking at? What pages you following? What TV shows you watching? Or is this just, are you just one of those guys that just has it?
I mean, that's something that's within.
Yeah. I see it, bro. I see it.
I'm not gonna lie.
Some people got it, some people don't. It's just like artists, you know. Some people got it, some people don't.
I mean, it's for me. It was honestly the test of like just my life in high school and growing up. Naturally, whatever I noticed that whatever I was naturally into would end up becoming a trend in about like 6 months to a year. So eventually, I figured out the timing of okay, if I like this at this point. In about 6 months to a year, this is going to be popular. So a lot of times, like whenever like I would be lost or not knowing what to create next, I would just get back to, okay, well, what do I want to wear? All right, now I know what to make.
Yeah.
Because what do I like?
Exactly.
So and then you take it back to what do I like? Now you're at a place of, okay, so if I like this, I'm doing it for the reason of like me loving this craft. Mm-hmm. So really it's like, what do I love? Because I'm doing what I love. Now I'm making what I love.
You're actually making clothes you'll actually wear.
Right. So, and then yeah. now I'm putting those, you know, now I'm putting that out.
Yeah.
And
man, I'm so glad we got to sit down and talk, bro, because how you're like, you see the future of fashion. I'm like the opposite. I'm like, yo, I'm the worst dressing motherfucker ever, bro.
I wear the
same shit all the time.
But I do that too, though. I mean, but that doesn't mean you're bad at dressing. I mean that's something else. Because I get in outfits. That's called uniform.
Yeah.
That's just called uniform.
Okay.
Wearing the same thing over and over again. That's just called uniform. If you look at Steve Jobs, he's known for the black turtleneck.
Yeah.
You look at Barack Obama, you know, he got his two suits that he wears all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You look at they switch up their uniform throughout different times. If you look at anime, that character's outfit only changes like on a new season or a new arc after they've grown up sometimes.
Yeah, I'll be honest, the only anime I've ever watched is the Avatar. It's Avatar, The Last Airbender.
That's a good one. I just put that one on again.
Super good.
That's a super good one.
Super good. I had to get I'll be honest. I had to get talked into watching it. I had to get persuaded into watching it.
The first time I watched that was on like Nickelodeon or something. Yeah. I was young.
Yeah,
my
ex-girlfriend, I think she persuaded me with a little bit of booty to watch that show. You know what I'm saying? But I watched it. I was blown away. I was like, yeah, this is actually good. I can get into this.
That show, I mean, honestly, we're going to talk about that show. That show really gets into chakras.
It was deep.
The nature.
It was deep, yeah.
That show, I remember there was a time where that show didn't make sense to me until like 10 years later when I was focusing on opening up my chakras. And at the time, I was like in the trend of hallucinogens and LSD and mushrooms and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Mushrooms, hallucinogens.
So at the time I'm on this trend of hallucinogens, LSD, mushrooms, and so I'm on this wave working on opening up chakras, this and that. And eventually this one time I was able to meditate off, because all a hallucinogen like LSD or shrooms are, is it's like a booster.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take those, like, you can honestly reach, you can open up all your chakras by meditating and through Reiki, through different practices, and you can get there,
mm-hmm.
Yourself easily. Hallucinogens, LSD, shrooms, they just push you there easier so that you can know what that feeling feels like.
Mm, okay.
It's just a quick cheat code to get there faster.
Okay.
And so anyways, this one time I was there, and at that point, like, something just hit. Everything around me, physical, disappeared. Went into the black, and what was it? It was the Avatar state.
Mm.
So I don't know if you remember, but when he finally was able to get rid of all the different attachments in life, i.e. opening up all his chakras and getting rid of everything, when he mastered the Avatar state, i.e. opening up all your chakras and meeting the inner self that's you, when he was on that bridge and there was nothing around him, everything physical turned to space, and there was a bridge, and at the end of the bridge, all he saw was like a bigger godlike version of himself.
Mm.
So that all that was is that's your inner self, that's your inner God.
Yeah.
And that's all that was a symbol for. And so that was a kid show that got crazy deep and that I was tripping out at, because it wasn't until years later that I understood what that kid show was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was just because I was like, oh my goodness, this is just like Avatar. And I realized, like, wait, I'm looking at that. At that moment, I was like, I want to be the best perfect version of me that I can be.
Yeah.
And I want to be on top of all these things and whoop-de-whoop. And whoop-dee. And
what's that mean? What's that? I feel like it's an inside joke.
It's that new CJ. It's that new CJ, Whoopty. So I said Whoopty Whoop, and so it just reminded me of my
Who's
head.
CJ? Whoopty. Is that an artist?
Yeah, it's an artist. An artist out New York or whatever.
Is he a Hispanic kid?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah
I've seen him.
I'll find a song. So honestly, just getting out was like, and I finally saw that, like, that perfect version of myself, that godlike version, that, like, where I was, like, looking at a bigger version of me in the sky, and it was trippy, and it just referenced that show, and it was just...
That was a great show.
Right.
This is CJ right here?
Yeah.
Is he the one with the red mink on?
Oh, yeah, in his other... It is on the profile.
With the pit bull?
Yeah,
yeah. No, I seen him. I seen a video, yeah. Yeah. Yo, New York. So you spent some time in New York, I assume.
Yeah.
So, like, let's talk about this real quick. The Vegas music scene culture. Mm. You know, you've been tapped into other cultures, cities. You know,
towards another city.
What's what do we need, bro? What do we need? What's going on, bro? He drops the mic. Plead the fifth. I feel you.
I'm about to start rapping, bro.
Come on, man. You trying to start a group?
We can do it, man. I'm about to start.
The best dress and the worst dress.
Oh my god.
But what do we need though, man? For real. What's what are we missing?
BDWD. There we go. Man.
Cause I'll give you my opinion, but I want to hear
you. Go ahead.
Well, it's just a lot of it is just our own sound, our own identity. You know, like, you know, you go to LA, you know LA music. You go to New York. Yeah, you just hear the accent. New York. Boom, the dances.
That woo, right.
Chicago, the right, Bay, you know?
Right. But drill music.
We don't have that.
I know.
That's what I think is the biggest missing ingredient, that we haven't been able to formulate a sound that's unique to us. keep talking while he hits his face. While his super lungs go in action. But yeah, that's my main thing.
So I think right now is actually a perfect time for Vegas because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Because the strip has closed down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So people coming here have a lot more forced outside places they have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bloom.
Mm-hmm. Yo, like, Bloom like is the new, is the new bingo. Fucking, yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So where can you go and you get the hookah and the club environment feel? And, you know, so that's a place I looked at. Okay, I could do an event here.
Because
mm-hmm. it's, you know, it has that hot spot and it has the different ingredients to it. But what it is, I mean, Vegas in the first place, like, Vegas hasn't been founded as long as LA.
We're so young.
We're a young city. Vegas is a young city. We're just getting an NFL team. We're just going to get an NBA team. Yeah. We don't know how many years. But honestly, it's coming up. And so you already know. So there has not yet been like a Vegas sound, because Vegas is eclectic. It's a melting pot city.
Right.
So Vegas is comprised of people from New York, people from Chicago, people from LA, people from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they come here. Vegas is the number one visited city in the world, but how do we not have culture at the same time?
Yeah.
We're the number one visited city in the world.
Yeah.
And everyone knows Vegas. And when I go to and travel and I say, oh, I'm from Vegas, they, oh my God, you're from Vegas.
Do you live in a hotel?
Yeah. Do you gamble every day?
Yeah.
Do you you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do you hit the casinos all the time? Right. Like, you must be a master poker player.
Mm-hmm.
And you must live in a hotel and gamble every day. And whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
And so it's just, but whatever it is, like, in that, there's just something that still has to be embraced. And I feel like, first of all, like, there has to not be as much of a division, if you really want me to get real, because I'm not going to lie. The only part of Vegas that reps a part of Vegas is the north side.
Yeah. North town. I'm from the north.
I'm not going to lie. And it's, yeah,
we got some west side representatives, too. East side. I mean, you know, so, we're so all... It's like...
I
feel you.
I think, like, there just needs to, like, in the... like. The city has to come together on something mm-hmm. that's like, we're not repping size of anything. Like, no one's trying to be the king of Vegas because that's a small pond still.
Yeah, big fish.
I don't care.
Maybe you're captain of the JV team.
right. So like, I'm not, and that's the thing. I've always looked global, and that's been another mm-hmm. difference. Is like, so since coming out the gate, I understood the reverse psychology. Those stores in LA. That 424, that Maxfield, those Barney's like stores that are collecting high end streetwear brands that are very curated and specially curated and then putting those brands on the map. They didn't want my brand at the time.
Mm.
But I went to Japan and I went to China, I went to Korea, mm-hmm. and then there we are different, we're foreign.
Mm-hmm.
So we're eccentric.
Right.
You know, exotic.
Right.
So then I went and put the brand in those stores over there. And then the stores over here were like, oh, that brand is in those big stores over there. Okay, now we want it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So it was like understanding the reverse psychology of going somewhere else, right, getting popping, and then coming back to your hometown, right, and then using that as leverage. Right. So that's something else I don't feel like an artist from Vegas has really done. And if they have, then I don't know what the execution process was exactly, because honestly...
Well, I think Dizzy Rice has really been the only one where to find some real success.
To go right, but I mean, there's not much longevity in that, and not much durability in that either, exactly, because, I mean, that's... Still a small, like, level, like, of success in a way, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like...
Well, he's underground still.
He's still underground. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So for, like, oh, if our greatest thing is still underground, how great is that, really?
Right, I mean,
if it's... Because my... And I guess what I'm really just speaking on is globalization.
Yeah.
God
damn.
Every time I get to the fucking group.
Good shit, bro. Yeah, well, let's wrap this little topic up, and we'll wrap it up, because we're already at an hour.
Are we?
Yeah. Time flies, shit, man. That's crazy, right?
Right.
Shut the fuck up, lady.
Right.
Damn. Ghetto ass Boulevard Mall, man.
Right.
Damn.
And they renovated it umpteen times.
God damn.
So. Globalization, you know, so looking at things globally, going global, only like Drake, Travis Scott, Migos, Lil Baby, there's only a handful of hip-hop artists that are known globally.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, there's a level, you know, between that, and there's different levels of things, and some artists might not want to be on that, you know, that crazy thing, but, you know, there's just a couple different tax brackets in the level of like fame and artistry there. And so kind of recognizing that a lot of those artists that did go global, they did shows in a lot of global locations and cities, and they marketed globally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they're known all over the world, is because that was their look.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't looking at being the biggest in Toronto, the biggest in Vegas, the biggest in LA. They were looking at being the biggest fucking rapper in the world.
Exactly.
The biggest designer in the world, the biggest model in the world, the biggest videographer in the world, the biggest whatever in the world, the biggest basketball player in the world, the biggest chef in the world. Like, you're great.
And your brain starts moving like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking globally, and therefore they're acting globally.
Right.
Because they're thinking globally.
Right,
so they're focused globally. So they're thinking that way.
Right.
They're moving that way.
I feel you, man. I tell every a lot of the artists I talk to, I'm just like, bro, don't get caught in this. Don't get caught up here. Don't do it. Don't, you know what I mean? Don't worry about being the hottest in the city. It's not it. I know you have a lot of artist friends, and what do you tell them and how to big up their career? You know, like, do you even talk about it with them, or do you?
I mean, I'm always like, thinking of things, thinking of new marketing methods, thinking of new just rollout methods. I mean, just yesterday I was with my boy Only Jay that I've grown up with for a minute, and we were looking at a couple of music videos of his, and sat down with his manager and with a music content promoter, brand ambassador, whoop-de-whoop, like just talking about and formulating the rollout. And it was through talking with them, they were like, okay, well, now is kind of the time to be focused on the city because of Corona and COVID and everyone still coming here, but a lot of places in the strip being closed. So now's the time where those people are going to go outside the city to look at forms of fun and entertainment.
Right.
And so therefore our artists can be found a little more easier. And then you're going to have what's called like that organic reach.
Yeah,
and that's those people that they came and they visited here and they found this new artist and then they go back to their hometown. So like, that will slowly keep happening, you know, over and over. But it's also that artist's job to be here and there and everywhere, and also traveling and going.
Well, doing what you do, because, you know, you're a creator, but we were talking about earlier, you know how to do the marketing, you know how to do, you have the business acumen. See, a lot of, especially rappers, but a lot of artists, they don't have those extra things, you know, those extra attributes that will help propel their career forward.
I mean, this was the first time that, like, Jay had even was coming up with a plan in the rollout. He always went with the punches. And so there's a lot of artists here that they just drop music, they drop singles, and just wait for one to catch fire and hit.
Link in bio.
And they're posting, without thinking of what's the bigger plan. So even for me right now, you go on my Instagram, there's not a single photo. Because right now, for me personally, I'm in the middle of, like, rebranding my image. We're going through, how do I want to look like? What do I feel? Well, you know what do I love? What I look like art-wise? Yeah. What's my flow? Getting back to the basics.
Right.
So that's why I've been talking about getting back to the basics so much, because I'm in the middle myself of getting back to the basics. So always stepping back.
You do have a mystique, bro.
Huh?
You do have a mystique.
What do you mean by that?
Like from an outside, like from an outsider's perspective. Like I don't really know what you do. you know what I mean?
I don't know what I do.
But that adds to somebody's value. You know? It's why Drake's the biggest artist in the world. Right. Done more numbers than Michael Jackson, right?
Right.
But comparing the Michael Jackson world, people would fucking freak out and pass out over Michael Jackson because of his unattainability. They didn't have social media because of that serious, serious mystique that added so much value onto his life. Now Drake in the world today, we can go on his Instagram and see inside of his house.
Yeah.
Like the only thing we can see inside of Michael Jackson's house is in our imagination.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that mystique and the accessibility that we all have, that we all give up, you know, is so easy to give up on social media
and
going online or whatever is lowers our value. That fucking bitch ass thing, yo. I'm gonna get pissed off. I'm gonna get pissed off, man. As soon as this ends, we're gonna wrap this up. This was good.
We can come back and do another one.
I gotta follow up. I gotta follow up with you. Yeah. But do you have any hats I can get? You got a hat? I could cop off you.
I should have
asked you before you came.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't have a hat.
You're not showing out the trunk.
But I brought something.
You gotta get back to the basics, man.
I brought something just in case. I did bring something just in case.
Okay, for sure. All right, we'll tap in. I appreciate you pulling up, man.
I did. I should have brought it inside. That's my bad.
No, it's all good. We'll make it happen. But I appreciate you pulling up. This was great to sit down and get to know you a little bit, man.
A little bit. Yeah. We still kept it mystique today.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of things that I wanted to talk about, but we'll save that for another time.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a sign.
Yeah, no, this thing is, this speaker is wrapping us up. But we're going to get back in here. We're going to get to it.
Yeah.
I'll get more and more keys and more brand insights, more insights to who I am and what's going on exactly.
Yeah.
I think I just wanted to have everyone get everyone's attention to sticking to the basics, to not forget who they are in the process of working on their art, whatever that may be, in their career. So always remembering, you know, what you love, you know, why you're doing it, what you're creating, and making sure that you're in it enough where you know what the flow is and that you love it, but you're also, like, out enough that you can check yourself and see what you're doing it for and see what you're doing from that third perspective, that third person party perspective at the same time. So you could just, and that's honestly just kind of my thing for today. And
well said.
I think we can come back in here and we can get a little more on what's going to be coming out, maybe what I'm doing, what I do exactly, some new ventures, some new plays, some new things. I will say right now I'm like working on a rollout, a tour in Asia in collaboration with Lamborghini's new champagne.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
sounds extravagant. Like, just Lamborghini and champagne in the same sentence. Yeah. Goddamn.
So, Lamborghini's doing a new champagne, and I'm working on the proposal for the club tour for the release of that. And so, working on some products to try to collab with them on and just planning like a party, a club tour.
Sounds crazy.
It's just kind of simple, yeah. It's just business moves, damn business moves.
Yeah, COVID's about to end, so.
It is. It's already ending in other countries. Yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Well, it was much love, respect to you. Congratulations on everything, bro.
Thank you.
Well, the city is lucky to have you. You're a special guy.
Thank you, bro.
For sure. Thank you, man.
I appreciate you having me, and we're going to come back through here, too.
For sure. Until next time, bro. Peace out.
Till next time.
Oh, that fucking thing, man.